Service last night, Brother Terry, all I can say is blessed be the name of the Lord. Did we have a feast here last night? Did we have a wonderful time here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord and what it means to you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord is a strong time.
Say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church today. What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. Brother, good to see all of you this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into, they are saved.
The name of the Lord, a strong tower.
Look at our prayer request this morning. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes, Sister Irene Pierce sends us in to please pray for Brother Mike Pierce. He's having severe back pain. Thank you, and may God bless him. We'll pray for our brother today. I want to continue to remember Sister Linda Maxwell in prayer for continued strength and healing. Just commit her unto the Lord. Ask God to be with her. Brother Bert Thomason sends us in, brethren. would appreciate your prayers as we believe together for healing and guidance for me and my family at this time. We're grateful to be part of you and hearing what is being preached. I guess we could everyone say amen to that, couldn't we? Brother Bert and family, so we just commit them unto the Lord today. I want to pray for Sister King. She spent about 4 hours at the hospital yesterday. They're saying that she may have an ulcer, so we certainly want to pray for Sister King that the Lord would touch her. Brother Brian Arnold facing surgery on his hand tomorrow, so let's pray for Brother Brian that the Lord would be mindful unto him. Sister Maria Sponsia sends this in. Dear sisters and brothers, I would like to express my gratitude for praying for me during my stay in the hospital in November. Again, I felt that the Lord was with me. I continue to recuperate very well, and my trust is in Him with a very thankful heart. Sister Maria Sponsia, well, we're certainly glad that the Lord has touched our sister, and, well, we just praise the Lord for her life. Sister Boone sends this in. Thank you for all the Get Well cards and Christmas cards and the gifts from my church family. It's good to be back in church. Thank you especially for your prayers. Sister Boone, give her a nice hand this morning. Brother Barclay sends this in to please pray for a Tim Thompson having gallbladder and diabetic problems. Remember him in prayer also. Janet Lee is facing the possibility of a liver transplant, so they're asking that we would remember those needs as we pray today. And we announced last night, so good to have Brother Jim Babb back in the service with us. The Lord has brought our brother a long ways. Sometimes you think, well, you're not missed, but really we miss you. We really miss you when you're not here, each and every one of you. And I know there's people that will come into this assembly and they'll be gone 3 or 4 months, and I'll get to wondering, well, whatever happened to them? It's easy to forget, isn't it? Especially when you get 21 and 22 year old, it's real easy to forget. And so, several times over, it makes it a whole lot easier to forget. But, we do miss you when you're not here, even though we may not call you, may not tell you, but in our hearts, you're missed. And I want you to always know that. Always feel that you're missed, and we appreciate you. Let me just go ahead and make this announcement before we pray today over the request. If any of the sisters would like to cook a meal, a dish of some sort for Brother Tracy, please call Sister Sherry Gawelke. I'm sure he would appreciate it. And continue to remember Brother Tracy in prayer that the Lord would be with him. Also, Brother Alray Robertson and his assembly in South Africa, they requested to greet you from South Africa and tell you that they want to wish you a very prosperous and a happy new year. And may God grace us with his presence throughout the year of 2013, or as long as we're here. You know, this is the last service of 2012, isn't it? Is that right? Well, it's been a good year. I'll tell you what, some of the incredible journeys we have taken in the Word of the Lord from gifted men of God, especially our pastor, Brother Don, and other great men of God that have stood here, we have been one truly blessed congregation in 2012. We certainly have. And I know you're thankful for it. We need to be thankful for it, because God has certainly blessed us in many, many wonderful ways. And we always want to thank Him for that, don't we? We certainly do. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, let's pray this morning. Brother Terry, why don't you just come, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His divine will in all these requests this morning. We appreciate Brother Terry, don't we? God bless you, brother. Love you, man.
Well, we get to go to church again today. Don't you love that? With all your heart, it won't always be that way. One more time, we get to go to church. Let's pray together, shall we? Truly in my heart, Lord Jesus, we want to invite you to come into the service this morning. The scripture says we're any two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst, and we are gathered in your name, and we ask that you would be among us and take the uppermost seat. We invite your presence, Lord. May we divorce all things from yesterday and what we perhaps may do tomorrow if you should tarry. But may we concentrate, Lord, and capitalize on your presence this morning. Be with us and speak to us, Lord, and lead us and guide us, Lord, into greater truth. We're thankful, Lord, for the year that has just about come to an end. And as Brother Louis said, the many wonderful travels and avenues that we've gone through down through the journey of your word, and we've learned more about you and trusting, Lord, that we've been more obedient to thy word. And Lord, in the year to come, we don't know what this new year holds, but we know who holds it. We know, Lord, that there's, as the prophet told us, it'll get worse, and it'll degenerate, and it'll get worse, and it'll degenerate, and it'll get worse and worse on until the rapture. So Lord, let us gird up the loins of our mind, and let us be prepared, Lord, for that great hour, a great hour, and the temptations will get harder, and the trials will get stronger, and the fiery trials will get more hotter, and we know that that'll come. But Lord, if we get more rooted and grounded in the Word of God, we truly know that you'll keep us and take us through. I pray for each request. Sister Linda Maxwell, she's been out for some time. I pray, God, just give her a complete restoration of health. Bring her back to the house of God. Give her grace, Lord. May her body be repaired. You received those 39 stripes that she, if she were the only one, you would have received it just for her, that she might be healed. Grant it, Lord, we pray. And every request I hold in my hand, may they be healed and touched and delivered. Perhaps, Lord, each of us have unsaved loved ones, family members that are outside the ark of safety. Brood over them, Lord, for the hour of your coming is very, very near. Lord, let us lay aside every weight, Lord, and everything that would so easily beset us along this way. Lord, we don't want to be a soldier. We know the Bible teaches us that he's not diverted in his, he has a single mind and a single eye, Lord, to be a soldier. We want to be in the army of God and our focus single. Grant these, Lord. Heal each one. Touch each one. Anoint our pastor this morning. And Lord, may we get into the Spirit. May we not leave, Lord, with the worldlyism upon our thoughts and get out the back door and talk about the things of the world. But Lord, truly may we take the things that are said and ponder them and relate in our hearts, Lord, and rewire our thinking, as it were. Rewire our brains that we might be more in tune and more spiritual. Grant these, Lord. Heal each one, we pray, and bring deliverance. Be with Brother Tracy. I know he'd like to be here. Help him, dear Jesus. And each one, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love you this morning. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. How many visitors do we have with us in our assembly today? Would you just lift your hand if you're visiting this morning? Let's give them a nice hand. God bless you. We're glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service today, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Hope this service is a tremendous blessing to them as well. I want to sing a song this morning, and this would be my testimony to the Lord, and I'm sure yours too. This past year of 2012, there's been a lot of negativity in my thought process. And I want to apologize to the Lord for that, because I know He has given me better than what I have declared. He has blessed me beyond anything I could ever imagine. How about you? Has He you? Please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. I'm going to do better by your grace.
Sing it, buddy.
You got words for it, Brother Ronnie? You don't know it? Sing the chorus. Okay. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you till my dying day. Help others find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Sing that chorus again. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Full of sorrow, I can't believe.
dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground.
So please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through.
And I won the victory. Oh, there's victory.
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of songs. Sister Mary White, if she'll come and give us a song at this time. Certainly appreciate those folks being here with us in service this weekend. And Brother Joel Brown or Sister Tamika, ever how they have it worked out, I don't know exactly how they have it arranged. Preferably Sister Tamika, but if we have to go with Brother Joel, we will. We love him, don't we? I don't know where he's at, but we love him. God bless his heart. My three sons, that's the only thing he can claim now, my three sons. We love him. I saw that little one last night, Brother Joel. Praise the Lord. He's a good-looking young man. I know you're tickled with him. Let's enjoy our singers as they say. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you.
Place I can call my own, here in your embrace, where your mercy overflows. It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away. I lay my burdens down and I look upon your face. You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storm is raging, rejoice and sing, you are my refuge. Every single day, my mind still longs for peace, searching everywhere just to find a sweet release. It's in my secret place, down on my knees in prayer. I drift into your world, and you've always met me there. You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place, you are my refuge. And when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, you are my refuge. You are my refuge, you are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place, you are my refuge. And when the storm is raging, underneath your wings, I rejoice and sing, you are my refuge.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. You know, as being married, that's my queen. And, you know, I found out now, which is fine with me. I found out now they prefer her to sing more than me nowadays. And the type runs consistent. It's okay. Because, you know, being the bride of Christ, we're on the scene now and we're taking the place of Christ. So I can handle that. I can handle that. But when the King steps on the scene, watch out. Is that all right? Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows beyond the church songs. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Rest beyond that old river. In the cross, a trembling soul, love, it was his love. And his mercy reached down and he looked and he found me there. His bride and morning star, it changed. Of his love around me. Now y'all think I was bragging about me, see? Some of you got it wrong. In the cross, in the cross, be find rest beyond that old river. I'm working on a building, it's a sure foundation. I'm holding up the blood stained banner for my Lord. Never get tired of working on my building. I'm going up to heaven, oh yes, and get my reward.
my building. Now when you see me crying, I'm just trying to get home. But I won't give up, no, 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 until I reach glory and proclaim to my Father how He brought me over and get my reward. I'm working on my building. A true and sure foundation. I'm holding up the blood same banner for my Lord. I'm getting tired of working on my building. I'm going up to heaven.
The Lord. You can be seated if you'd like. Brother Joel and Sister Tamika want to dedicate their baby to the Lord today, so if they'll, we'll offer him to God.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
Quite a little man, huh? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful today for the gift of life. Lord, how we so appreciate brothers and sisters that in this life have a desire to bring children into the earth, to raise them, to teach them, to bring them up in the admonition of God. We know it's not without responsibility, for much of what they will become in life is what the input from the parents will put and make out of them. So, Lord, I know my brother and sister don't stand here today and take it lightly. God, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, my sister being turned by your prophet is the fifth gospel. My brother having an influence upon his. Lord, how they will be able to respect a woman. How they'll look at marriage.
Hallelujah.
How they'll look at so many different things. They'll learn from him. I pray, God, that you'd help them. Lord Jesus, may they hear the prophet's voice in their home. May they hear mom and daddy calling upon your name. May the angels of God, the presence of the Holy Ghost, not be a strange thing to them, but may they be raised in that atmosphere, in that environment. We bring little Zion to you today, Heavenly Father. Give his life to you.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'd keep him from the evils of the day and the wickedness and sin.
Yes.
Lord, if time should tarry, that he'd be old enough to be able to make his choice. May he make it when he's young, before the days become evil, Lord. We commit him to you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That makes me feel like having revival. Anybody else got anything you want to dedicate? Praise the Lord. I wish somebody would dedicate me. Am I, any of y'all big enough to take me up in your arms? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together if you would. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. My subject today is to you in the form of a question. Who really am I? Who really am I? I gave this to the brothers so it would be kind of short so they could make it for the title on the CDs and all that. But there's another part of this that I'd like to add to this as well. And who really are you? Who really am I? and who really are you? Listen, as Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God so many, many years ago, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I want you to notice now who he's speaking to. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So that would be the entirety of your body. Now, if you notice, he didn't say soul only, but your body. So in your bodies would be everything that you are. So in your body is your soul. In your body is your mind, both consciences, conscience and subconscious. In your body is your emotions, your feelings. So when you present that, you present the entirety of who you are. Now listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And once you've done this, it's not like you've done some great big accomplishment. You're looking for stars and stripes. It's just that this is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're not talking now about sinners getting saved and they're going to stop thinking about alcohol and drugs and all types of sin and wickedness that sinners think about. But this is addressed to brothers, brothers who need their minds renewed. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. So it doesn't happen just one time. It's an ongoing thing. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, again Paul says, Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's pray together if you would. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. We desire, dear God, as we've assembled here today, that we could be benefited by our gathering. We've not come, Lord, to see one another, though that would be nice and pleasant to greet one another. And we've not just come to hear the songs, and we enjoy that so much, and to hear the prayer requests and different things like that. But really, Brother Benham had said that the most important part of the service we've come to right now, which is the preaching and the hearing of your word. And we know in the last days that there's to come a famine. And the way that the prophet wrote it, it wasn't that there would be just so much a famine for the preaching of the word, but the way the prophet said it, there would be a famine for the hearing of the word. So it's very, very much a fact that the word can be preached, but there will be a famine on people who actually can hear it. How sad that there would be such an abundance of word. And it's not that there's a shortage of real, genuine, solid preaching, but the famine is somehow in the ability of people to hear it. So help us today, Lord, that we will not leave this place famine-stricken, but Lord God, we will have been fed on the promises of your word. Grant it, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate you today. Love you with all my heart. Who really am I? Who really are you? We know that we're a very complicated being. The more I study about us, the more I realize how complex and complicated that we are. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God making us in the way that he did in his own image in the beginning. I wonder sometimes in my mind what the original man must have been like, what it must have been to walk in a paradise of God with no premonition of evil, no sin, no bad conscience, no bad memory, ever pulling anything up bad in your mind because there was nothing that had ever happened bad to you, no bad makeup, no bad temperament, no flaw in your spirit, no flaw in your soul, no flaw in your flesh. It must have been a wonderful thing. I don't know what it was like, but I'm fixing to find out what it's going to be like. tonight. But you think in your mind, you know, because all we've ever known is just the part that we are now. And in that, I know that I'm a very complex person. And each of you are. When you look at what all it is that really makes you up. Now, if we believe the word and believing that there's a predestinated seed in the bride that's given to her from the mind of God, but that is the soul. But does that alter and change every other aspect of your life? Your humanity, your conscience, your subconscious, your spirit, it's certainly affects all of that, but it does not, because the soul is predestinated, it does not mean that your body is free from sickness, free from trouble, free from fault. And much of what we are, we have become that in the natural sense because of years of molding and things that we've been brought through prior to coming to the Lord. We know that there was that same effect that happened to Brother Branham whenever he was a young man, a young boy, growing up into early manhood, and whenever he saw those women who was out committing adultery, running around on their husbands, and it did something to him, and he said, I even have to watch it now. I have to watch it even now. This is the early 50s. He said that I don't have an attitude against women, because it affected him in such a way of seeing what women could be, seeing those women who abuse their anatomy and what God gave them to become, but yet they turned that around and used it as an instrument of the devil. So we see him as a young boy desiring to be loved. We see him as a young man desiring to be loved. And we see this reoccurring thing over and over and over again of wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted. Then he comes to standing in the gap. He's going to come off the field, going to quit preaching, because why? Some of those very same things that was molded in him as a child is still reflecting itself in him now that he's come up as the Son of God, handling the word. One of the greatest events that had ever transpired on the earth after the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord, when the seals were opened 3 months after that great thing, then Brother Branham stands and he's going to come off the field, going to quit preaching. You imagine what them people must have felt in their mind. But yet we see this reoccurring because Brother Branham was, as you and I, a complex individual. So the thing that had happened in his soul did not eliminate the things that had happened in his body whenever he was growing up as a young man. It did not eliminate even the things that were formulated in him about his beliefs in his subconscious that still dealt with him as he was now in his 50s. So we know then, if it did not remove all of that out of him was what he had with God, it certainly won't remove it out of us was what we have with God. Much of it, whether or not you like it, you're stuck with till the change. It ain't just your big fat nose that's going to be your plague in life, believe me. It ain't your lowering jaw or whatever more that you don't like about yourself. Those things really are trivial matters. It's the inside of you that causes you all of your major problems. But now, let's see if God's help today, we cannot look at it and try to find out a little bit more about ourselves and see if there's something that through the grace of God that we can implement what we are and make us better people. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, to be more like Christ? Notice this in spiritual adoption. Brother Bram says, in order to stay with God, stay gentle. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. God is love. Stay meek. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon Him. Never use your own mind. Take His thoughts. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. Take them into your carnal mind and repeat them. Now notice, take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over and say, oh God, take away all my doubt away and let my thoughts be your thoughts. Now what is the significance in taking God's thoughts into our carnal mind and repeating that? Now don't be offended by this, but Brother Branham is actually giving us some spiritual psychology. Why? Because you still have a psyche about you. A makeup will affect you in the psychological realm. And there is a law that psychologists have found many years ago, and it is the law of repetition. That you take principles and you say them over and over and over again, and you're actually rewiring what they call rewiring your brain. So here Brother Branham is standing and telling us spiritual things in God. So if you're all the time down on yourself and you're never no good and you're sorry and nobody likes you, you know what? You need to reprogram yourself. And the Holy Ghost won't do it for you because He's telling you how to do it. So here Brother Branham tells us now, take His thoughts, let His thoughts be your thoughts. Take them into your carnal mind. Why not take them into your soul? Your soul don't need to be reprogrammed.
If your soul is born again, it's born of the Spirit of God, it will never be negative. It will never be off the word. It's always positive. That's not where your trouble lays. But it lays in where? The carnal mind. So how does the carnal mind get changed then? By taking his thoughts into our carnal mind and saying it over and over and over again. Glory. Now notice, oh God, take away all of my doubt and let my thoughts be your thoughts. You sick people, do that as we're speaking. You sick people, do that as we're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Cast away the thought of sickness. Take God's healing thought. Let them become your thoughts. And you don't have to do that in your soul because the soul is born by the breath of God. So from the soul will always emanate the thoughts of God. But remember, your soul is not the only one thinking. Your soul is not the only source of an inner source or inner voice or an inner dialogue that goes along in your life every day that you live. But it comes from your two consciences as they communicate back and forth one against the other. You realize your soul can speak nothing negative. Your soul cannot say your name is not on the book. Your soul cannot say you're not saved. Your soul, it can't do it because your soul is a part of the word and it's quickened to the Holy Ghost. And once it is quickened, my, how it wants to guide us and lead us. But remember, as we said here today, we're hearing the word that's being preached, but it's coming from the outside, working itself in. If the word can go straight from my lips directly to your soul, would have bypassed a lot of nonsense, wouldn't we? But the truth of it is, we still need our ears and we still in our mind, we still need our subconscious to process all that we're hearing. I wonder really how much we really get from our soul. Once the word is preached, I wonder time it goes through our first conscience, our subconscious, and it really comes down into the soul. Wonder how much out of a service we really, really get down inside of our soul. Because the outside two realms of us are constantly processing. Processing this and processing that. And we're diluting it and we're adding to it and we're taking away. And by the time the soul gets it. Oh, God help us. My, wonder what it'll be whenever we get so straightened out that that word will speak and it won't be filtered and it won't be diluted and it won't be watered down. I'll tell you what it'll be, a body change. Oh, my. Glory. Notice this. He says, take God's healing thought and let them become your thoughts. Think upon these things, the Bible said. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue. Now watch, Brother Brandon, he would do this many times in praying for the people, that he would actually lead them in prayer. And he would say it over and over again. He said, surely I would know what to say, how to defeat Satan. Now he said, I'm going to say these words and I want you to pray them. I'm going to transfer these words and put them into your mouth, or in some places he would say in your mind, and I want you to say them. And he said, whenever you pray them, it will defeat the devil. Now look what he's doing. He would then actually say the right words because the people didn't know what to say to defeat the devil. But he would tell them what to say to defeat the devil, and he would say it, they would pray it, and devils just turn out of there like crazy. You know why? Because they were willing to receive training to know what to say. Come on, friends, admit it. Many times we don't know what to say, we don't know how to pray, we don't know how to talk. We need to be taught by the Word of God. Now watch here, Brother Branham is leading the people in prayer. I accept thee as my Savior, my only salvation. I need your strength for my health. I cannot go forward without you. Notice now, this is not a negative testimony. It is a testimony of total dependency upon God. It is not a testimony of self-sufficient, self-reliant. I don't need nobody. Oh no, that's not a testimony. That's from the devil. Notice what he's saying here. I accept thee as my Savior, my only salvation. I need your strength for my health. I cannot go forward without you. Oh my. I now accept you as my healer. I renounce the devil and all of his works. From this time henceforth, I will think positive. I will believe every promise. So here is Dr. Branham giving these people psychological words. As I said last time, one of the greatest mistakes we make in this message is we feel we're different than every other human being on the face of the earth. You're only different in your soul. And that's a gift of God. Notice the scripture that says, by his stripes I was healed. I now accept it. I believe it. It is mine. I thank you, Lord. I will continue testifying of my healing until I'm perfectly well. Here's the balance, friends. Here's the balance. You're still testifying, but you're not perfectly well yet. That's not a lie. That's not being dishonest. How you doing, brother? Well, by God's grace, I'm doing better. The symptoms may still be there, but it's only temporary. Amen. I went and bought some shoes because I'm getting out of this wheelchair. Amen. I'm buying preparation. I'm fixing to be healed. I'm fixing to be made well of this thing. That's my testimony. Listen to this, in the absolute in Houston, we must stop now looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. Again, why Christ speak, knowing that we by the grace of God possess within our bosom, with a consecration to him this morning, that our lives shall change from this day on, that we'll be more positive in our thinking. We will try to live in such sweetness and humility and believing that what we ask God, God will give it to each other. And we will not speak evil against each other or no man. Come on, church. You cannot be positive and gossip. Glory. Oh my, we will not speak evil against each other or no man. We shall pray for our enemies and love them. And do good to them that do bad to us. God is the judge who is right and wrong. Now watch this. Let's jump from the message standpoint now. Let's jump over into the physiological or the physical or the natural man part. This is what the doctors call self-talk. Positive thinking reduces stress by eliminating negative self-talk. Most people don't realize it, but as we go about our daily lives, we are constantly thinking about and interpreting the situations we find ourselves in. It's as if though that we have an internal voice inside our head that determines how we perceive every situation. Psychologists call this inner voice self-talk. It includes our conscious thoughts as well as our unconscious assumptions or beliefs. Now, this is who you are. This is not your soul. This is not the predestinate seed, but this is the complex person called David Siler. This is the complex person called Jim Babb, Linda Babb, Carol Blake, whoever you are. This is really who you are. This is what causes us much of our spiritual delay in getting closer to God. These things that were molded in us since we were children. Now watch this. From our early childhood, we begin to develop self-talk or inner dialogue which influences our behavior and our responses to the behavior of others. It affects our beliefs about ourselves and consequently our capabilities. It should not therefore be surprising that some negative talk can induce, notice this negative self-talk can induce a stress response. While more constructive self-talk can help to overcome it. So here you are, a child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, heaven bound, your name's on the book, the devil can't stop you, there's nothing can absolutely destroy you, and you walk around like you ain't got one thing in God. You look so sad, you look so depressed, you look so down, and yet all of these promises have got your name wrote all over them, and you think, what in the world's going on? Is heaven's banquet bankrupt? Is God overdrawn on joy? Is God overdrawn on peace? What in the world's going on with me? Self-talk! Self-talk or inner dialogue refers to the internal conversations we have. These may be very neutral. For example, remember to get milk on the way home. That's not destructive. Of course, unless you buy it out of date. Then you get home with it, she might destroy you. remember to get milk on the way home, or it can be quite judgmental. You idiot. You'll never be able to give a presentation without making a fool of yourself, because our self-talk has been with us a long time. We may be barely aware of it. Aware or not, it can have a huge impact on our behavior. So I wonder, really, do you all know yourself? Really? Do you know your inner dialogue, your self-talk? When you talk to Jim, do you know what you think about yourself? The opinions, the belief. Well, that has nothing to do with me and God. It has everything to do with you and God. It's the way you'll view Him. It's the way you'll view me. It's the way you'll view your fellowship with the saints of God. Well, glory. Boy, you ain't very deep this morning, Brother Donnie. I kind of think I am pretty deep. I don't think I'm getting no deeper than where I am right now. Notice this. Much of our self-talk comes from parents or other significant authority figures from our childhood. Now listen, parents. Some of y'all buy $100 shoes for your kids because you want them to be in style. You buy them good bicycles. You buy them all kinds of things. And you think by giving them things, you're doing the best thing for them. And then you call them stupid, idiot, foolish, ignoramus, whatever words that you use. Do you know what you're doing to that child? I know what my daddy did to me. I still bear in my memory today the names he called me. He didn't know no better. That's the way he was raised. He didn't know what I know. I don't hold him accountable. I don't believe God does. He didn't know. Most of my young childhood at home, I was stupid. I was ignorant. I could do nothing. I had no ability. Even when I started preaching, my mama, bless her heart, she said, poor old Donnie, all he's got's the word. Yeah. Well, my daddy had miracles and signs and wonders, so she was comparing me to him. You see. So most of my life, that's what I've heard. If a robber would have broken our house and tried to kill me, my daddy would probably tore him to pieces. My daddy wasn't a violent man. If somebody picked on me at school, I never was a fighter. I just never could fight. I just couldn't do it. My sister could. She always took my part. They weren't afraid of me, but they sure was of my sister. Bless her little heart. And so was I. I got scars on my face to bear witness of it. But you see, these things that we carry within us, and we think, oh, that don't affect me. I got the Holy Ghost. But your Holy Ghost is not affected by this. But the real you is. Now watch this. I wonder if you and I would take an inventory of our self-talk, our dialogue from day to day, weekly, and figure out and listen to what we really think about ourselves. Do you think you're bride material? Do you think that God loves you as much as the next person sitting by you? Or as things your father said to you, or your mother, or maybe a school teacher, or maybe the first job you had, your supervisor. Now, you know, many times they're saying these things because they are saying them in reality. My daddy was the type of man, he could do anything. Never had any education, went to the sixth grade. Never had any education, but could work on a machine, never see it in his life, and go up and fix it. Just do all kinds of things. Jack of all trades. I was neither jack or the trades. I didn't hardly have no ability, but he wouldn't teach me. He wouldn't tell me to pick up a wrench and go over and take this off, and I'd mess it up and I'd break the wrench or tear that up or whatever. That's just the way you are. You always tear something up. Then I started saying the same thing. Now I've learned over the years not to say it verbally, but my dialogue still goes on. Boy, I'm preaching now. I don't say near as much negative stuff, but it ain't stopped because it don't come out here. It still goes on between these two people. And I still think it about myself. Well, glory. There's no charge for this visit to the psychiatrist today. Now, what's it is? So much of our self-talk comes from parents or other significant authority figures from our childhood. It may also come from other influential figures as we have developed teachers, for example, prolonged exposure to a dominant person. A manager or a work colleague or a partner may again contribute to our self-talk. Or sometime it may be that a statement made in a situation where we were highly susceptible due to deep concentration or high levels of emotion become lodged in our subconscious and becomes a part of our inner dialogue. Now this is one thing that bears, as the professionals have found out, that anything that so comes with a great powerful emotion, in a negative response that goes on in your life, something negative, terrible happens, and it comes with a great amount of emotion, and whether it's tears or whatever more, and that thing bears such a thing in your subconscious, and if it hurts you, then your subconscious, when it sees you going into a similar situation, your subconscious will go to screaming with everything in you to protect you from that. So if you got hurt by people when you were young, your subconscious is there to defend you. So it will not allow you to build close relationship to anyone else the rest of your entire life. Because you don't want to be hurt. And that's why you live such a lonely life. Can I go on? Thank you. I'm not going to give you a chance to say no. Notice this. Sometimes it may be that a statement made in a situation where we were highly susceptible due to deep concentration or high levels of emotion becomes lodged in our subconscious and becomes part of our inner dialogue. Our self-talk may originate from some previous experience which has had a significant impact on us, a difficult relationship, an unsuccessful work experience, an acute embarrassment. One function of our self-talk may be to help us avoid the same pain or embarrassment again. So you see folks around the message who were hurt by a preacher, they'll never trust another one. They'll think it's their Holy Ghost, it's their soul, it's their subconscious. They'll think they're spiritual, it's their subconscious. Has nothing at all to do with being spiritual. And they are locked in this little world and they receive so little. They receive so little because their subconscious warns them, you better watch that preacher. You can't trust him. There's something going on in his life. I feel funny and I get around him. Ooh. It ain't got nothing to do with being spiritual. Ain't got nothing to do with being discerning of this, that, and other. It is your subconscious. It's trying to protect you. Watch this. Mama. Thus, we may tell ourselves and not get involved in a relationship. We'll only be let down or not apply for a promotion. We'll let our depths or not our outgoing socially. So it affects what? Everything about us. We make a fool out of ourselves. These instructions may run counter to what we consciously want. Now notice, the man down in the engine room is telling you, don't do that, you'll get hurt. You better not trust nobody, you'll get hurt. But the man up here on the bow of the ship, he's saying, I don't like going out eating by myself. I don't like being alone in church. I don't like coming in 5 minutes before it starts and I hit the door saying, I want friends. I want fellowship. But the man down here, you better not do it. You better not do it. You know you've always been hurt. So the conflict which can result from our acting against them may in itself lead to increased stress. Why? Because you've got a war going on in the iceberg. Now remember, the way that they look at the mind is that it's an example or a metaphor of an iceberg. A portion of the iceberg sticks out of the water. a larger, huger portion is down inside of the water. This is our first conscience and our subconscious. Now look how important our mindset is. Let's go back again to Brother Branham. This lady sitting here with a blue dress on, sitting right here, isn't there something wrong with you? Right here on the end of the seat is, and I can't make this part exactly, but isn't there something wrong in the bowel system? Colon trouble? Is that right, sister? Is that it? Raise up your hand. All right. Do you believe now? All right. Don't never think about that. No more. Oh man, okay, so you've got a bowel trouble, you've got a colon trouble, and a prophet of God don't even pray for you. Just tells you don't never think about that. No more. He does not do a series to give you instruction on how to do it. You ain't got 47 different services with a whole bunch of quotes and a whole bunch of scripture. You've got one statement from a prophet of God that said, don't never think about that no more. What would you have done if you had been on that platform? Would this been enough for you to never done it again? Something to think about, eh? Don't never think about that no more. Go on home. Woo, we don't like this part. Eat what you want to. Eat what you want to and use the good part. Don't cramp and don't hurt, but be blessed. Oh my, don't ever, what in the world is her thinking about it got to do with it? He's trying to get the woman to see. Get your mind off your trouble. Get your mind off of all that. If you don't, it'll be right there with you as long as you live. Notice again, someone say, oh my, let me not skip this. Watch this. This is amazing to me. I believe the lady lost, listen, he says this, somebody lost a goiter. Well, that'd be a good thing to lose. Can you imagine you're sitting there just worshiping God? Oh, hallelujah. You're sitting there in the service and all of a sudden you walk in there with a goiter on your neck and you lose it. Something must have been going on in her mind that God was there. Somebody lost a goiter. Just then. I believe it's the third lady sitting there. Did you have a goiter, sister? Is that right? Well, it left you. Notice that someone said, well, I'm just not worthy. Get that out of your mind. Amen. Then notice what he says. Sure you're not. And never will be. It's not the fact that you're not worthy. That is a fact. But it don't do you good to think about some facts. It don't benefit you. Just think, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. You understand what that'll produce in you? You are programming your subconscious to not believe for anything good because you're not worthy. Sure, I'm not worthy. But if he wants to give it to me, I'm going to take it. Oh, hallelujah. I was not worthy of salvation. I'm still not worthy. But he offered it to me. I receive it and I'm saved. I'm not worthy of the Holy Ghost, but he offered it to me. I received it and I've got it. Watch this, and you must be born again because we keep our mind on the church and on this organization and on this group and this program and that man. Take your mind off of them. They'll fail. Put your mind on Christ, on his word. It can't fail. Let him be your example, not no man. Don't get your eyes on Donnie Reagan. Don't get your eyes on some other man. Keep your eyes on Christ Jesus. A lot of times people passing through the country called divine healers People take them for an example. You better get your mind off of them. That's right. You keep your mind on Christ. He's the one to keep your mind on, not on your pastor. Love your pastor and respect him. He's an honorable man, a man of God, truly. But keep your mind on Christ. Come on, children. Thank God for Brother Branham, but my mind ain't on Brother Branham. My mind's on Christ Jesus. Thank God for a pastor. Thank God for evangelists. We appreciate them. But my mind ain't on Brother Darrell. My mind ain't on these brothers. I want my mind on Christ Jesus. Why? Because men at best will let you down. They will disappoint you. But the Lord Jesus will never fail you. You see, when a church gets to focus on their pastor, his gift, his ability to sing, his ability to do this and this, and that's all they talk, that church is heading down a wrong road. Don't get your mind on my gift and no other man's gift. Keep your mind on Christ Jesus. Keep your mind on Christ and your affection set on Christ. Notice this is the balance of this. Just respect him as what he is, as a reverend, because he represents God to you. Don't you see why God resents people in the message keeping their mind on Brother Branham? Don't you see why God resents people in a church keeping their mind on the pastor? You're not supposed to keep your mind on no man. We're to keep our mind on the Lord Jesus. We honor the men of God. We thank God for them. We thank God for their labor and all that sort of thing. But our mind is stayed on him. It ain't stayed on the ministry. It ain't stayed on no singer. Nobody else. It stayed on Christ Jesus. Amen. Notice this. God doesn't deal with you upon the merits of your salvation. He heals you upon the merits of your faith. You must believe him. Because the Christians sometimes think God owes it to them. Now watch how he's dealing with the subconscious of people and how they get in their mind even after they become Christians. Christian thinks sometimes God owes it to them. I'm a good person. I've done so and so. When you get that in your mind, you'll never get anything from God. Anything? You'll never get anything from God till you get it out of your mind. Boy, we got a lot of straightening up to do, don't we? Now you say, I go to church, Lord, I've accepted you as my Savior, but I believe the days of miracles has passed. How can God work in a heart like that? You got your mind made up and you're going to do what you want to do and God can't tell you nothing. Oh, Lord, children, I wonder how many people there is like that around this message. Even God can't tell them, preachers included. And they feel so alone and so forsaken, it ain't no wonder. We make ourselves to where God can't deal with us. Because we get it so made up in our mind. Fed from enthusiasm, fed from emotion, fed from whatever more in our subconscious. And it's constantly fed there. This is our inner dialogue. I need nobody. I need help from nobody. You're deceived. We need one another like never before. I've always enjoyed this quote here. It's very fitting for many things. Brother Branham, when he preaches this, it's a young people's service action in Tucson. He says, you make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it. And as you think, of course, your mind, it's presented into your mind by an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it becomes in your mind, then you speak it, then you're going to do it. Then your ambitions drive you to do it. Now this is the very epitome of the birth of sin. This is the way it happened with Satan. Something within him and then his ambitions drove him to it. It's the same with you and I. Now it's something that presents to our mind. Now whenever we were young, whenever we were before in the adolescent stage, before we come to the spot where we could choose what we wanted to be put into us, there were people over us that felt like they were our mentors, feel like that they were doing the best they could. So they begin to instill all kinds of things inside of us. To be afraid of this and to fear that and to watch this and watch that. I remember many of you know that me and my brother Harry and our siblings was down in the woods one day and a rabid fox came out of the woods. knocked my sister down. It was nibbling on her arms like that, and she had her arms up over her face this way. I had a pocket knife, so I reached down inside my pocket and pulled it out. And whenever I did to attack the fox, it grabbed me by the hand. That was a terrible, terrible experience. But one thing that made it worse was that my grandmother, my daddy's mother, she loved to tell tales. Now, Mom, all of us loved her. All of her grandkids, I mean, there's just something about Mom. She'd tell stuff, the hair would stand up on the back of your neck. Now, whether it was true or not, I don't know, and then it didn't matter, because all I know is I wouldn't step out that door after dark for nothing in this world. Because everything that Mom said, you know, it just, but one thing that made that fox bite even make it even worse than the traumas what we were dealing with was many, many stories that Mom had told us about people that would take rabies and they'd chain them to a bed and they'd go mad and all kinds of things. So as we're driving up the road going to the doctor, my hand pouring the blood, you know, and all this going on, they got to sew me up. So I look over in the car, I'm just a little video guy. I look over in the car and I say, Mama, if I go mad, please don't let me bite the kids. Now you're laughing, but I wasn't laughing then, I assure you. But you see, where that come from was in my subconscious. Now that I had had contact with a rabid fox, then the stories of my grandmother, which were buried down deep within me, they were now coming out, and great fear beyond the trauma of being bit by a rabid fox, but now the association that I could get rabies. And now I might go mad and they may have to put me out in the outhouse somewhere and chain me up like a dog. But all that laid down inside of me. You understand? And if you only knew yourself, how many things are buried inside of you because of former beliefs and things that you believe about this and that and the other. And the reality of it is a million miles away from the truth. So some of you are thinking, now you know what happened to me. I went mad. No, I didn't go mad. I took rabies shots. Now, watch this. Albert, Brother Brim said, did you ever think the inside of your body is another man? Did you know that? There is another man inside of your body. It works from an intelligent here that the mind subconsciously just, my, listen now. And no wonder they thought he was crazy. It ain't no wonder they thought he was a psychic. When he was dealing with things like this in this day, in the 50s, when people thought, my goodness, no preacher ever deals with that. This one did. Maybe you'd think to reach out here, subconsciously the mind. I'd think to reach out. I don't even have to think about that. How many things do you do every day? It is not your first conscience that does it, but your subconscious. You'll agree with me on that, right? Watch this. I don't have to think about it. Now that's where faith. Now watch this. There's a conscience and a subconscious. It's just like, well, if we start overseas by ship, and there's a man sitting up here, he's the one who gives the orders. Then the man goes down in the ship to run the ship down here. Well, he don't see where he's going. Now listen, this is very important. The man down in the bottom of the ship does not see where he's going. So he cannot use logic to motivate this ship. The subconscious is not the illogical part of your brain. It cannot use logic. It does not use reason. It goes by what the conscience part tells it. It's buried deep down in the hull of the ship. It can't see. There's no doors. There's no windows. There's no porthole for it to look out. But if the man upstairs says, you're no good, you're sorry, you're rotten, you'll never be nothing, then the man down there drives you to do that. He will drive you till you will be nothing. Because all he knows is the orders from the man upstairs. Now watch this. He says he just takes orders from up above. But now he says steer to the left or to the right or give the engine more of that. Whatever it is, he just works by orders. But way down in the midst of us sharing our heart is the subconscious, and it takes orders from up here. I wonder how many years of unbelief we've got built up in us about so many things. And then some of y'all wonder why a preacher has to repeat himself. It's a wonder God don't push us preachers on rewind more often than he does. We got so much trash in us. Now watch this, how he goes on with this. Now up here, this conscience comes up to the platform. Brother Branham, praise the Lord, I have faith. But right down in that other little conscience said, "Now you know you haven't." Well, now if you can get this one and that one in harmony, notice now, what a merging together in order to make the world. Friend, I ain't talking about prosperity. I ain't talking about you having more houses and lands. I'm talking about you being an overcoming Christian. This has to do with your joy and your peace and your revelation and your possession as a saint of God, not a bigger house. This one's saying yes all the time. This one's saying yes, but down in there, there's something in that little fella. You want to make it. You want to say yes, but that down in there, this little shadow that makes you don't deal with this little fella down here very much. Well, you kind of find out he kindly does the ruling. Uh-oh. So you mean to tell me that my subconscious does more ruling than my conscience? Y'all do believe this, right? You finally kind of find out he's the one that does the ruling, you see. So if this fellow I call, he's the one who drives the ship. He's the one who does the steering. This one might say a lot. But this guy's the one that does the work down here. I believe every word that prophet said. Glory to God, every word. And you say, you got a pastor? Every word. You got a pastor? Every word. Just talk. Get it out of them. Do you have a pastor? Do you believe you need one? This guy down here will tell you, no, I don't need a pastor. You can tell that by their actions. No matter how much discipline, I believe everywhere. But this guy down here said, I don't need to go to church. I don't need no pastor. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need that. That's the guy that rules them. No matter what this flops, it can flop around the wind, just say all kinds of things. But this guy down here, he's tearing the, here we go. Now, hey, friends, every one of us, whether you want to accept it, every one of us are in the same ship today. He's the one who drives the ship. He's the one that does the steering. This one might say a lot, but this guy's the one that does the work down here, CC. So this one right here said, oh, yes, I believe it. Oh, I sure do. Oh, my. Oh, yes, sir, I'm a believer, boy. But notice he said this and this agrees when you got that. Then we can move on to promise. Then we're able to absorb what God has actually said. So do we need a new book? Do we need to find a new tape? Do we need a new preacher? Do we need to start a new church? Maybe there's some fantastic gift out there somewhere that we haven't all recognized yet. But if we can get under that gift, that'll bring me to everything I've ever hoped for. The change most of us need is simply within ourselves. Can I go on? Notice this, but until that does it, well, it just won't work. That's all because you got orders going this way and this one going this way and this one pulling your ship one way and don't get out of the harbor. So the man upstairs said, let's go to heaven. And the guy down the bottom said, I don't know which way is heaven. Which way is heaven? Let's say mama said this way and daddy said that way and the ship's going around. Boy, am I making headway. You sure are. That's the biggest circle I've ever seen in my life. Wow, you're really doing good. You burned up half your fuel. You've had your years in the message and you've done all this stuff and you've got the biggest circle in the message. But there ain't nobody in it but just you. You're going to keep on, Lord. You're going to get me fired. Notice this. Oh my. This one going this way, this one pulling your ship one way, you don't know how to get out of the harbor. So we just gotta get these fellows to agreeing and saying, God is right. This says God is right. This says God is right. Then we move forward, see, we got orders. So can you imagine then when we hear something from the Word? And we sat there and we're hearing it, alright? It's reverberating off of our eardrums, which it changes into things that we're able to recognize. And we're sitting there, that's right, that's a quote, that's a scripture. I can understand that principle. I can see that, that's right. Then it comes on down through the subconscious, you know, it's down the iceberg beneath the water. And you're sitting there totally unaware of how it's perceiving all this. But what it's doing, it's interpreting what you're hearing out here, because this is the first conscious. So it's interpreting what you're hearing. It's interpreting it by former previous ideas that you've had. Well, I've always believed this. My brother taught it this way. My grandpa preached it that way. So your subconscious is filtering. And it's sending this over here. It's trashing this, deleting this file, sending this to trash. And time you get done, after the whole service is over, an hour and 15 minutes of preaching, you've got one quote. Which went along with what you previously believed anyway. And you say, I really like that one thing he said. Because I've always believed it that way. Lord help us. Lord help us. Friends, I wonder in our lifetime, how much word has God custom fit for us personally? And we trashed it. Our conscience brought it down. It was receptive to the outside man on the whole. And when they brought it down, but the subconscious filtered it. That's just Brother Tony. That's just Brother Tony. I don't like that. I don't like his tone of voice. And time it got done, so much of the service was totally, totally gone. And then you go home and say, I don't even feel like I've been to church. Something wrong with Brother Donnie. Man, he ain't doing it no more. I'll tell you, there's something wrong with him. I just ain't getting that much. Have you checked your circle lately? Now watch this. Brother Bam said, there's nothing in your way. There's nothing going to make you doubt it. All the symptoms you could have, you could go back to the hospital in the morning. They'd say, well, your arm is still stiff. Your cancer's still there. That wouldn't have one speck. That wouldn't phase you one bit, see? If that, this, and this, notice now, that, this, and this, 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 this, and this ain't enough. You can scream and holler till you turn blue in the face and still not get it until you talk this guy down here into agreeing with you. Oh my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That wouldn't faze you one bit. If that, this, and this is agreed, that's right. Faith does anything. Well, Jesus said, have faith in God. Is that right? For verily, verily, I say unto you, if you, not I, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt it, it'll obey you. It have to. It have to do just what you say. If you don't doubt it. Now you believe it up here. But let's get that subconscious believing it too. And when the subconscious and this conscience in harmony with God, it'll happen. There's the three. Dr. Joseph Murphy lived from 1898 to 1981 states in the power of the subconscious mind, the conscious mind is like the captain, the bridge of a ship. He directs the ship and signals orders to men in the engine room. The men in the engine room do not know where they are going. They follow orders. So here is a doctor saying what Brother Branham said. Or Brother Branham saying what this doctor said since this doctor lived in his lifetime. If you are constantly telling yourself, subconscious mind, that you're fat, no matter how many diets you have tried, they won't work. You have programmed your subconscious mind to tell your body fat, and your body will obey. Well, glory. The words, the power of positive thinking is not just a catchy phrase. It has a significant truth to it. Thoughts are energy, and energy can be changed into matter. So what you think has power to materialize. The more you think about a thing, the more power you are giving to it. No wonder I love to think about the rapture. No wonder I love to say, oh glory, think about my body being changed. I ain't just working on my brain cells. I'm working on my future home. The good news is that you have the power to willfully reprogram your thoughts, beliefs, and habits. It takes effort and persistence. Pay attention to the thoughts that run through your mind. Are they mostly negative or positive? When you look at situations, what do you see? Do you see impossible odds or a positive outcome? If you've been standing there that day and heard Goliath make his big threat, what would have been your deduction of the situation? Would you look at a man that was so big nobody in the right mind would ever attack him? Or would you look at him like David did, a target that big, how could you ever miss him? Oh, glory to God. Depending on how you look at it. What did David do? He went back to his programming from his subconscious. I was keeping my father's sheep. And God, amen, delivered me of a liar. He delivered me of a man. David had been programmed to believe that God could move in impossible situations. The mind has the power to shape what has been programmed from the conscious mind to the subconscious. The subconscious mind shapes our thoughts into reality. That's why you go to imagine somebody don't like you. Somebody's got something against you. And the whole time it's totally in your mind. But it'll be so real to you, hardly nobody can convince you otherwise. It is a reality, only to you though. It's not truth. Now watch Brother Branham again. Well now, many people has hope and calls it faith. Now when God says a certain thing, you say a certain, the same thing. Down in here it says the same thing. Something's going to happen, you see, when it all gets together, but when the ship will move, the load will move. What if some of your burdens that you've been carrying and you've been waiting on God to deliver the depression, waiting on God to deliver the anxiety, and God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you for this man up here and this man down here to get together. And once they get together, you'll get out of this circle you've been in for 30 years of your life. And you'll head on a destiny. You'll head on a journey instead of going around and around and around the harbor of life. The load will move, but you've got to be in perfect harmony with the will of God, the word of God, your subconscious, your first conscience with the spirit of God, and all that moving together, and everything clears away, and you move out. Amen. You imagine 1954. This is when Pentecost is screaming, running, jumping, shouting. They got oil in the hands. They got all kinds of signs and wonders. And Brother Branham's preaching about the subconscious. They must have looked at him worse than y'all are looking at me. Notice again. Now you say, I got faith. The first thing, you have to have a base for faith. That's God's word. Well, then the man goes to school and he learns theology. He reads it. Said, God said, yes, I believe that. He believes it here in his mind. But see, he's got a subconscious. And that subconscious disagrees with this. Now the first conscience can be changed so much easier than the subconscious. Quicker. A person could walk in this service today and have a lot of doubt and fear in their mind. The first conscience, get under the anointing of my gift or some other preacher's gift, get under the anointing of the atmosphere that you saints create. And their first conscience is like the upper part of the iceberg whenever the sun comes up really extremely hot in the Alaska days when the sun hardly ever goes down. And the outside of that iceberg will change drastically in one 24-hour period. Because the warmth from the sun is shining and permeating down on that iceberg, but is anything changing underneath it? Not one thing. It's just as big as it was the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. Why? Because the water temperature beneath the rays of those sun is not making a lasting change on that iceberg. It ain't enough to come one service. Okay, I say I need to be different. And then you go back out and say the same old stuff. Talk the same old way. Think the same old way. You must bring a thought pattern in yourself. It must be a change day by day, week by week, month by month, until eventually it leads to the change. He's got a subconscious, and that subconscious disagrees. I wonder if God will let us look at ourselves today. How many of you sit in this building? How many of you did hear this service? When you think you're in such harmony with yourself, if God would let you really see yourself the way you are, what would we see, Brother Jim? Would we see a man, a woman, a boy, or girl that is constantly battling with herself? I'm talking about to smoke and to drink. And you that are born again, you that love God and you want to serve God, and you wonder, what is my problem? I know I'm born again. I know I love God. I don't want the things of the world. Why can't I get out of this mess? The man down here. Because when he starts to do it, he's a little bit scared and it won't happen. And it won't. Now see, the subconscious is not logical. The subconscious is buried down here on the hull of the ship. He can't see the sun shining outside. Look through them windows, our children. Ain't that pretty? The sun come out. Man, I didn't think it was ever going to come out. It's been so cloudy around here for the last few days. Did you? But you know what? The guy down here still don't know what's out. He don't know. He can't reason. He knows nothing about logic. All he does is recall things that you fed into him all of your life. Your daddy was this way, and you'll be the same way. Shame on some of you people. That because a man turns out to be a homosexual, you'll say his kids will be just like him. Shame on some of you because a man smoked or drank or run around, and you say his boys will be just like him. I'm ashamed of you. If that boy sets his mind that way, he will be. But if that boy, by the power of a new birth and setting under the teaching of the Word of God, that boy can be so transformed, he don't even act like his daddy. He ain't nothing like his daddy. His nose might be like him and his ears might be like him, but nothing else is like him. Watch again, Brother Bram said, like the man in the sea. The man crossing the sea, the real man that drives the ship, he never sees where he's going. He's down in the bowels of the ship. He's the engineer. The man sitting here on the deck, he gives him the orders from the man in the crow's nest. He'll send down word, 2 knots to the left. Now the man down here, he don't see where he's going. It's just the engine. Well, what if he could give it 2 knots to the right? Or what if he just wouldn't give it at all? And the man up here says, go forward. He puts it in reverse. They'll never get out of the message. I mean the harbor. Don't you understand, friend, why many folks have never left the introduction to the message? They went around and God's in a prophet, God's in a prophet. Man, there are speedboats. God's in a prophet. Hallelujah. God's in a prophet. That's all they know. Why they're afraid to trust preachers to go on with what that prophet said. They just feel more safe. And just playing the same text over and over and over again. They can't trust. They think it's the voice that's on the tape. But the Bible didn't say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the prophet says. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Which is through all God called man. Now watch, when the man up in the crow's nest says, straight ahead. The man on the deck says, straight ahead. This man down in the bottom says, straight ahead. She's going to move. When God says, by his stripes we're healed. The man receives in his heart, says, by his stripes we're healed. The subconscious acts back, by his stripes we're healed. Look out. Something's going to take place. Oh my. can you imagine Brother Branham likening your conscience to the man up on the deck, likening the Holy Ghost to the man in the crow's nest, and likening your subconscious to the man in the engine room? Look out, devil. You're going forward. Listen to this. Nothing. Nothing can stop it then. You're in full harmony. Not a wave. I don't care what kind of waves would come. It'd never be contrary to your faith. You move right on through. That's right. But you got to make everything in agreement with God's word. Then move on. When we get it all lined up in agreement. Then if you say, well, the case is too hard, this or that. I know you try to believe up here, but this down here has got a little bit scared about it. Listen. The very next paragraph. Like I was telling a lady this morning, when you go to fry your meat for breakfast and a big bunch of grease pops on your hand, first thing you know, it scares you to death. You grab your hand. Where is the engine, Dean? Just as quick as you can. That's the reason it burns you. That's what makes it the scare. I can prove that. It's the scare that burns you. You say it's the temperature of the grease. I side with Malachi 4. It's the scare that burns you. You got the Holy Ghost that's operating in your body. That old snake grabbed a hold of Paul's hand. There was not a bit of scare. He looked at it like that and shook it off in the fire and went on. Got some more sticks. A lot of us were so complex, we went back over and sat down and never lit a fire again, would we? We'd never picked up another piece of wood. Paul said, I can't let this hinder me. I can't let this hinder me. So we went around and got some more sticks. My, it didn't scare him, see, if you're not scared. Jesus said, why did you fear? Peter come walking on the water, done fine till he seen the waves were contrary. Then he got scared and began to sink. Jesus come, picked him up and said, why did you fear? Oh, you have little faith. Fear! You scared it won't happen. Don't have one bit of fear. Move forward. God said so. Let me close with this. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next weekend. Brother Ron, just go down a little bit to the subtitle where it says your conscious mind is running your life. A new perspective of why we are the way we are has been introduced by some cutting edge molecular biologist. Forgive me. These big fang dang words. Foremost among them is a former professor of medicine at Stanford University, Dr. Bruce Lipton. He says the new science of epigenetics has shown that our genes are in fact controlled and manipulated by how our minds perceive and intercept our environment. It was formerly believed by science that it is our genes themselves which dictate our traits, that our genes form who and how we are. The new findings are great news because it means that we can change many things about the way we are, including our health. By changing how we interpret events and situations which happen to us. For example, Dr. Lipton shows that if we interpret things in a positive way, we start living healthier and better quality lives, regardless of the genetic makeup that we started with. A new attitude, positive or negative, sends new messages to the cells in our body and can actually reprogram their health and behavior. It can even change cellular structure, turning diseased cells into healthy cells. Lord. Lord of mercy. Don't you see? Don't you see what it does? See that your grandpa had a heart attack, your father had a heart attack. So you figure, you think in your mind, I'm going to have a heart attack. More than likely, you will. Well, my uncle backslid, my nephew backslid, they all backslid. I probably will too. You probably will too. As I told you, my grandfather died of a heart attack, my daddy died of a heart attack. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I know y'all think I'm nuts, but I have the power within my body to change myself. No wonder Brother Ben, from a spiritual standpoint, can say, you will raise your own body from the dust of the earth. Lord Jesus. This new science does away with the old scientific tradition based upon Newtonian physics that the body is just a mechanical device, and actual knowledge acknowledges that the mind and spirit also play a role in who we are. Amen. Dr. Lipton explains that there are two separate minds that create what he calls the body's controlling voice. There is a conscious mind that can think freely and create new ideas out of the box. Then there is the subconscious mind, which is basically a supercomputer loaded with a database of programmed behaviors, most of which were acquired before we reached the age of six. The subconscious mind cannot move outside its fixed programs. It automatically reacts to situations with its previously stored behavior responses. And it works without the knowledge or the control of the conscious mind. Whew. I think me and me needs to sit down and have a talk. And I'm going to tell you something, son. You're fixing to change. Both visible and invisible, this iceberg, it's fixing to take a chance. I'm sick and tired of you telling me what to do. I'm sick and tired of you telling me I ain't no count, I ain't no good, I'll never be nothing, I'm stupid. I ain't stupid. I don't know, this preaching might give us a precursor on the change. Well, I better close. Lord, children, you appreciate his word. We'll pick this up again. I know it's too much for you to comprehend, but on down just a little bit more, Brother Ronnie. As it seems, the unconscious mind is running on its automatic pilot mode 95% of the time. Neuroscientists have shown that the conscious mind provides 5% or less of our cognitive conscious activity during the day. And 5%, they say, is for the more aware people, more capable aware people. Many people operate at just 1% consciousness. Dr. Lipton also says the unconscious mind operates at 40 million bits of data per second. And the conscious mind processes at only 40 bits per second. So you've got an outdated computer and a super one. But you've got a new birth which is going to correlate these two computers together. And make them work right. I'm folding this up right now and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You believe it, friends? You want it to affect your life and change it? It's already in motion. It's already in motion. Because he lives. Let's sing it together now. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. No matter what you're facing, no matter what your trouble are, my fears are gone. raise your hands and sing it together. Believe it now. Let the benediction run to me to tell you. Tell yourself, because He lives, I can face anything. Anything He allows to come my way, I'll be able to overcome.
Go this morning, go with the fear of the Lord as we sing again now.